As we've been anticipating, Pastor Robertson and Pastor McDaniel have been traveling from Wyoming, and I believe you guys met up in Montana and then continued together and have been making many stops along the way. You finally found yourself here in Grand Prairie at Harvest Baptist Church. We're so thankful that you're here, and we're excited for what God is doing as you travel throughout this area of the country. It's a tremendous blessing to know that there's people outside of Grand Prairie that care about what's going on in Grand Prairie and care about what's going on in northwestern Alberta and in Alberta generally and in Canada. And we care very much about that too. And so, again, we're thankful to have you folks up here. We certainly hope that that you learn much about the area and that you see the tremendous burden that is here. And so, but today we're just excited to get into God's Word and see what the Lord has for us this morning and this evening. And so I'll ask Pastor Robertson if you would come now and just share with us what God has laid on your heart. God bless.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it this morning. All right, I have a long ways to go and a short time to get there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. Brother, I'll be using this, right? Not this. I just wanted to turn it out of my face just a little bit right there. Thank you very much. Yeah, you'll need your Bible, brother. You know what? I videoed a little while ago. Man, that song y'all just sang, whoa, it was over the top. That was almost as good as that praise God part we had in that other song, you know. But it was a real blessing. Now, here's what we're doing. We're making a DVD, and we'll be showing this around the states everywhere. Brother Mike and I get around, and we travel. He's more resident in his pastorate there than I am, has been, but he's getting to be moving around. But I go a lot, and so I'm in a lot of churches 2 months out of the year, a month in the spring, a month in the fall. And so I'm in somewhere, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all around the United States someplace. So what we're doing with this, I preached on Prince Edward Island 3 years or so ago, really burdened my heart. I really got a burden then. Then I preached in Calgary. I even got a greater burden. And then because Jason Buchert and I, and I'm sure you folks must know who he is. And so he and I are friends, and he's preached for me, and I've preached for him. And so my burden has continued to grow. Now, from a church planter standpoint, when I see a city of 10,000 people without a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, hey, listen, my church planting juices get to moving. And then when I see cities of 30,000, I mean 50,000, we've been everywhere. We just came here again from Prince Albert, and that's a long ways from here. And we've stopped at every little nook and cranny. We've taken pictures. We've found vacant buildings that used to be churches. We've taken untold amounts of pictures of the Indian reservation, of Roman Catholicism here in Canada. And on and on and on. So there is a great need here. I've been all over the place. I don't know that I've seen a greater need than you people have right here in all of Canada. Tremendous. Just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cities and towns without a gospel witness. Now, I don't know about you, but that bothers me. Yeah. It really does. And it should bother everybody. It should bother every Christian that knows Jesus Christ that somebody else can't hear. You know, and so it should burden our hearts. Those kids taking up that missionary money. Man, what a blessing that was. We do the same thing. That's how our bus ministry runs. And we do support mission by faith promise and through the church offering as well. But what a blessing that is. And that, you know what that does? That keeps these kids' minds thinking about missions and missions and missions. And so that's a real blessing. So we'll be showing now. You will actually, unless you don't want to be on there, we'll block you out. But you will actually be on that DVD everywhere we go to show that. So I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to people being able to see all the different places we've been, the congregations that we've been able to preach in. We didn't really come to intend on preaching anywhere. It just happened that we ended up getting these meetings here. And so it's been a real blessing. And it's taken us around a good deal, you know, for Saskatchewan and here in Alberta. I thought when I was around in Alberta that there was great needs. But I went to Saskatchewan and, man, they really got the needs over there as well. I'm sure like BC and everywhere else. But anyway, we are glad to be here. It's such a joy. It's always a blessing. And I'm always excited when I go somewhere. Hey, I'm a foreigner. right? And I'm glad when I go someplace like this, and man, here you are. You're just like we are. We don't say, hey, you know, but you're just like we are down there where we're at. You know, you're people like Brother McDaniel's people is there in North Carolina, you know, and with your spirit and your joy and your excitement and your desire to serve and worship God and to see people saved. Amen. That's where it's at. Amen. Why do we exist without that? Amen. What is the purpose? God left us, saved us, and left us here on the earth that we might serve Him. Amen. Amen. And get involved. Everybody must be involved.
Right.
Everybody must be involved. Everybody needs to be a witness. Look, I keep replenishing my tracks. I brought tracks after tracks everywhere. We witness to everybody just about we come in contact to. Grocery stores, Walmart, you know, you name it. You have Wally World's everywhere. But we try to be a witness. We may not ever see the fruition of the seed planting, brother. But God told us to plant the seed, and we're planting the seed. The growth of that seed is up to God, not me. Amen. My job and your job is just to sow the seed and plant the seed. And God, listen, the Lord of the harvest will take care of the harvest. Amen. That's His job, and we thank God for it. Well, you got your place now. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. You know, I don't always get to preach what I want to. You know, there are some things that this old evangelist friend of mine, you know, he was preaching one time and somebody said, Brother Dave, preach on heaven. He said, ain't going to. Like that. Well, anyway, my wife was told me the other day, she said, honey, what are you preaching? I said, I don't know where I was at. She was asking me. She never knows what I'm going to preach. Well, I don't know what I'm going to preach half the time. You're very fortunate to have in this bulletin here any title of anything that I have, because sometimes I don't know. But she said, well, honey, just preach on heaven. I told her, I said, ain't going to. But anyways, I'm glad. There's others. I wish I could. Matter of fact, I brought my notes because I wanted to preach on heaven. God hadn't let me do that yet. I got a couple more places to go. Maybe he'll get around to it. I don't know. But this morning, we may never meet this side of eternity again. Amen? This might be the last time you ever see this face of mine. My note might be good, huh? But anyway, so I want to leave you something because you need a pastor.
Yeah.
My old pastor used to tell us, wherever there's sheep, they need a shepherd. Amen. And so I know you desperately are praying and wanting one. And I know you are. I thank God for Brother Ron and Brother Arlen. What a blessing these laymen have done to feed you and love you and care for you. And obviously you love these men and the Lord, or you wouldn't be here this morning. But listen, let's zero in for just a minute today on this idea of the pastor. Who is this man? Now, I want you to know who the pastor is. I know you've had other pastors, but you know, a lot of pastors won't say this morning what I'm going to say in their own church. Okay? I say it in mine, but a lot of pastors won't say this right here, what I'm going to tell you, which is probably nothing you haven't heard before. And if anything else, let me refresh your mind about your responsibility to God's man and his responsibilities before God as the under shepherd of the flock of God that he puts him in charge of. And so I want us to kind of zero in on that. And I'm going to give you a 2.5 hour message in the next 25 minutes if you'll pray for me, okay? And help me, amen? So I want to try to do what I can. Some things I'll leave out because I feel like that this church, from talking to Brother Arlen, Brother Ron, we weren't asking a question. We don't know who you, I don't know who you are. I didn't even know this was Brother Ron's mother till this morning. And I figured it was when she came in here and got after him. I said, that must be his mother. No, she didn't do that. I'm just kidding. But at any rate, so there's some things I feel like you know. So I would just kind of touch on the highlights if I can and move into what I call what I really want you to understand. And don't ever forget it, please. Don't ever forget it. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. Let's just read these right here. Hold your place there. We'll read this in a second. Let me say this about the pastor, and then I'll jump right up into that so I can save myself and you a little bit of time. Now, I want you to understand, and you know this morning, I'm sure that everybody in here knows that a pastor is called by God. I have a brother who's a pastor. I was saved as a result of his ministry. My wife was, my mother was, my sister was, my brother-in-law was, and I thank God for him. But I'm not in the ministry, brother, because my brother is. Amen. Does that make sense to you? I'm not in the ministry because my mother called me. My mother didn't do that. That we were all they were all saved in the unsaved in those days. But I want you to get this, and I say this because never forget this. Never forget this. A pastor is called by God. Amen. Amen. Okay, I know, I understand. So you do this. See? And it's I want you to get that. A pastor's called by God. God is the one who calls him. Let me give you this one verse out of these verses and we'll move along. But listen to this verse. Let it sink in. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul writing to the church of Galatia, here's what he said. But when it pleased God who separated me, that's Paul writing, from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, we can say other things. You know, Jeremiah talks about pastors and God giving them pastors according to his heart and all these kinds of things. The 12 were called. Amen. We read that in here all everywhere where he went by call. The 12 were all called. In Acts, we see that where in Acts 13, we see where Paul was called there. They sent him out, laid hands on him, sent him out because the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work. All right, so I want you to understand. Now you say, well, we know that. Okay, well, let me tell you something. 10 years from now, will you remember that? When a problem hits your life in your church, will you remember? When the pastor has to, when it comes time for the sheep shearing, when you understand and remember that the pastor is a man that God has called here and given to the church as a gift.
Right.
As a gift. God has given to every flock, a real flock, a shepherd that he has called, that he has chosen. Look, you don't hire a pastor. Hello?
That's right.
You don't hire a pastor. I'm not hired at all. No one's ever hired me. I wouldn't go anywhere where somebody said, we're hiring a pastor. You don't hire me. And when you don't hire me, it's very difficult for you, honey, to fire me. But no, but I'm just saying, you don't hire the pastor. The pastor is a man that God calls to the work. Amen. Right. So when God gives you a pastor, what you're doing is you're seeing and you're realizing through the Spirit of God in your prayer life and your Bible reading, you know, this is God's man. He meets the qualifications to be a pastor. And we like him. We can get along with him. There's a connection there. I met my wife. She was 11 years old. She walked down the aisle of the school bus, sister, and I said, I'm going to marry that girl. She was only 11. But 5 years later, brother, I married her. She was 16 and I was 18, and that will be 50 years next year.
Amen.
Hey, you know what? Say, do you mean there wasn't any other girls around your area? Sure, plenty of them. But there was a connection. There was something about her that was not like anybody else.
Right.
Now, when God sends a man of God here, let me tell you something. You'll look at that man, you'll say, there's something about him not like anybody else. There's a connection here. I feel this. I know this has got to be the will of God. And especially once he meets the biblical qualifications that we're about to read here just in a minute. Amen? Hey, number one is calling from God. Remember that this morning throughout these thoughts that we're looking at. Then, not only his calling is from God, but remember this now. There are requirements to that calling. And listen to me, folks. The same qualifications it takes for a man to get into the ministry and as a pastor, he must maintain those things throughout his entire tenure as a pastor. Amen. That's right. You got to maintain those things as well. All right, now, let's look at them. And I'm not going to go through these because I saw a little piece of paper Brother Ron showed me of these very things. So y'all are looking at that with any candidate. But I just want to go through them if I can. Notice, first of all, this call has requirements. Number one, let's read it together now. This is a true, don't you like that? T-R-U-E. You take it to the bank, man. This is a true saying. If a man desire, there's the first qualification of a pastor right there. And that's to have a desire, a desire, a desire. There's some men don't have a desire for the pastorate, you know, but God puts that in a man. And so he said the first thing here is a desire. A desire means to reach out or to stretch out or to reach out for anything, to long for. So if a man desired the office of a bishop then must, a bishop must be what? Blameless. Not perfect. Nobody in here is perfect.
That's right.
Amen. You aren't. He's not. His wife's not. I know this will shock you. His kids aren't. That's right.
Yeah.
The children aren't. Listen to me, brother. How many kids you have? 15? Oh, two. I'm sorry. I thought I said 15. No, just kidding. Two kids. They're little now. They're young now. And there are a certain amount of still difficulty in rearing children, boys, okay? But you know, as they get to be 10, 12, 13, 15, hey, things change as they grow older. Now I know you're going to train them into nurture and admonition of the Lord. We know all about that. But they have what we call volition, right? These boys have a free will to one day they will have to make their own decisions. And so, but even as that comes along, look, every pastor sister has to struggle with the same thing in child rearing that you do.
Right. You're right. Amen.
They have to struggle with the same thing that you people do back there and that you do and everybody does. They struggle. Do you get that? Will you understand that about the man of God? That when you look at his family, hey, look, you know that if somebody says that Brother McDaniel's kids are bad, you know why? They play with church members' kids.
Amen.
You don't think that's funny, do you? Laugh, Brother Arnold. Please tell me.
Welcome to Canada.
No. Well, I'm not asking you to say amen right there, you know. I'm just saying that's what people like to... Here's another thing they say. They say, oh, why come pastor's kids are naughty playing with the deacon's kids?
Right.
Okay? You know, but hey, I'm just telling you, please understand this. There's people who think that the pastor and his children and his wife, they're supposed to be absolutely perfect in every little thing. We live in a glass house. We're not perfect. Our kids aren't. Our kids make mistakes like your children may or will make one of these days. Amen. You know, so look at this. Blameless. But I'll tell you one thing. He might not be perfect like none of us are, but he can't. I used to remember when the old, how many of you ever had a CB radio? You ever see me? Remember they said, it was like I had a handle. Mine was King James. That was my handle. My name's James. But I liked the King James Bible, of course, and use it. But mine was King James. You know what that was? That was my handle. My handle. I like to take this word blameless and think about a pastor should never have a handle. I don't mean on a CB. I mean in town. Oh, he lies. Oh, he's not quite as honest as he ought. See, he's not blameless any longer. That type of thing. Anyway, so he's be blameless. Then get this. What about the husband of one wife? That's not one at a time.
That's right.
It's not one at a time. I'm not going to get into all of that because I don't know what this church teaches and I don't know what you believe. But I'm telling you, the Bible teaches that for a pastor or for a deacon, there can be no divorce. Okay, and that's a whole other subject. And I love to debate it anytime somebody likes to. Then look at another word he said here. He also is to be vigilant. Then here's another one. Sober. That doesn't mean he's not out here getting drunk. That's not what that word there means. Sound in mind, self-control, that type of thing. Good behavior. I like this qualification right here. Good behavior. He's a man who behaves himself in public, in private. He dresses. Listen. Come here, brother. Mike. Come here. I want to show you something now. This has to do with good behavior. Come back here. Put that big old foot of yours up in the air.
Can.
Get it up there, old man. God help. Look at that. You see that shoe? Oh, you see that shiny shoe? I'm going to tell you something, brother. I can see myself in that shoe. Do you know that's part of good behavior for the man of God? To keep his shoes clean, to look nice, you know, to dress nice. You know, you take us out. I'm the pastor. You take me out to eat. You don't want me to embarrass you. You know, I don't use deodorant. I don't have a breath mint. You know, I'm kind of frumpy looking, you know. Look, that's part of the demeanor of the man of God. Amen. And a man of God should be right in these things, you know. My wife would never let. She ironed all my shirts before I left home.
John Olive. I've been hanging him up in the car. And back there in the back. You know why, sister? My wife would never let me leave my house with an unironed shirt. You know why? Not only is she concerned about how I look and her own testimony as my wife, but also of mine as a pastor. You know, she wants me to come to church and be right. Now, I want to emphasize that. That's important. That's something you should look for in the man of God. Take him out to eat. Go places with him. Make sure he has good manners. Now, I don't know whoever said you had to sit down and eat and put the napkin that you wipe your mouth on and your hands on in your lap. I don't know who come across with all that. And I don't mean that has to be like that. Do they do that in Canada? I'm moving up here. But I'm saying he's to be a mannerly person. You know, does he say thank you? You know, I open up doors for ladies still in Wyoming where I live, and they'll walk on through and they don't say anything. I'll say, "You're welcome." You know, but I do that. And sometimes I'll say to ladies, "Hey," they'll look at me as if they're shocked that somebody would open the door. And I said, "There's still chivalry among some men in this country." That's what I'll say to them. Hey, good behavior. Look for that. That's important, I think. But then let me move along. Then also give it to hospitality. You know, that's just simply, that's a man who is a lover of guests. I don't mean that I don't mean they go over and he's got bunk beds and twin beds and five different bedrooms in the house so everybody can stay in. I don't mean that. That's not what God meant right there. I think every church needs to have a what do you call that money, brother? A benevolence fund or what's that other cash we use? Petty cash. Every church ought to have a benevolence, but a petty cash. You know why? Because, hey, if he's not signing checks, doing any kinds of those things, guess what? Missionary comes through, who's going to pay for his meal? The pastor needs to be given. He loves entertaining, taking care of those guests that are coming by. And this primarily speaking of guests in the ministry, see? Yeah. That type of thing. So that's something you to think about that you need to do and establish for your pastor, you know, and that type of thing. So, and I always hate this, Brother Arlen. I hate it when I have to write out a check myself or pay for cash and then go get a reimbursement. I just never did like that, you know? It's better you do it another way. Anyway, then apt to teach, having the ability to convey the truth, not given to wine, that means no drinker. Well, listen, come on. Wine's a mark of strong drinks, raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Pretty clear the Bible is, you know, on that. Then also, no striker. I wouldn't have put that in there had I been writing the Bible. But anyway, it's in there. Not a striker. In other words, you're not characterized by force or a fight or any of that kind of stuff. Patient. That's a tough one. But your pastor has to be a man that does have patience. You don't have a man come in. You say, well, maybe he'll get patience after he's with us. Matter of fact, we'll make it where he will get patience. You know what I mean? But no. You're looking for a man that has these now. Now. This is part of his life and makeup now, which makes him qualified. You know, he's patient. And then not a brawler. Not covetous, one who's governed by money and that type of thing. It's not that, you know, possessions, money and things. And then one that ruleth well his own house. That's a person who presides over his own house, maintains it, and the children are in command. Look at this. Next one, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now, what that refers to is the pastor has to understand how important that is. That doesn't refer to the kids. What are children? What does a little boy here know about that? But he knows that his children, if he was the pastor, that he knows that his children are supposed to, he sees the importance of them in obedience and following dad's leadership. He doesn't understand that, but he does. And that's what you need for your pastor. He's a man who understands that the kids, my kids, it's important that my children aren't jumping from chair to chair to chair throughout the church that Sunday. You know, they're not the first in line to eat. You know, he's got things regimented, kind of lined up, you know, and they understand their role and their place. And they understand the importance. And he understands that too. Then he said with all gravity, but then not a novice, new to the faith, and then of good report. Now look with me in 2 Corinthians 12:15. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 15. All right, in 2 Corinthians 12:15.
I love this verse. I wish I had a lot of time this morning for us to do a real good Bible study on this 15th verse. I've only got just a few things here about this verse. I got to get out of there. But I love this verse. It's such a sweet, sweet verse. This opens up to me, brother, the heart of the Apostle Paul right here. Opens up his heart. It helps me, sister, to see just what kind of heart this man had. What kind of a pastor was Paul? You know what? You want a pastor with a heart like this. Now, you're not going to get a Paul, okay? There's not but one Arlen. There's not but one Mike McDaniel. There's not but one Brother Ron back there. And there's not but one whoever, you know, in the ministry. There's only one Brother Webster. There's only one Brother Buchard, thank God. You don't want to look. You don't want to have a pastor coming to hear people say, well, we never done it like that before. That's great. Yeah, we're open to something. Are you open to something new? You know, or good, not something far off the wall, but I'm just saying, so look at this heart here. Now, got it? Look what he says. Paul said, I will. Look at that. He says, I will very gladly. That's the commitment that you need out of your pastor right there for the work of God. He's committed. Man, he's all in. Everything about him is preaching and teaching and ministry and loving you and caring for you and burying your loved ones and marrying your children. And he's into this. He's committed. He's in there. Nothing's going to deter him from what God has called him to do. Paul said, I will very gladly. That again, brothers, can be connected back to that word desire. Desire. For man has a desire for shepherding the flock of God, he'll love all of this. No matter how strenuous and how tough and how difficult it is, he's going to like it. He's going to enjoy it. Well, he may not always like it, but he's going to enjoy working, doing the work of God and helping people. Now, we'll get to that later. Now, so he said, I will very gladly. That's his commitment. Notice his consecration. I will very gladly do what? Spend. He's not talking about your money either, or his money. I will very gladly spend. I've heard some testimonies about pastors where they work real hard, they do this, they do that. Look, you don't want a lazy preacher. You want a man who's committed and a man who's consecrated to the work of God and consecrated to you. He's concerned about you. He's glad to give it all he has to help you grow, to see your loved ones saved, to touch this town for God. Amen. He said, I will very gladly spend. I love that. And that gives us the attitude, or it helps us to see his attitude, his disposition. Man, he cares. He's in this thing, you know. This isn't just not a job. He's not looking forward to Friday to get a paycheck or whenever people do that, whatever. You know, that's not it. And then notice something else he says. I will very gladly spend. Look, and be spent. Spent. Boy, you know what? Paul said, we can see this in Paul. He is totally consumed. You got that? You know what, Brother McDaniel? Look, I've preached for this man many times. Their church supports me. They've been my greatest supporter in my church planting. See? And they've got a tremendous great church at the helm and at the leadership of this man. And I don't know too many people more organized than the guy you're going to hear tonight preach. Let me tell you, he is organized on top of this thing. His church runs like a well-oiled machine. And you know why? Because he has a man that has a desire. He has a man, just like Paul, that's committed. He has a man consecrated to the work. He's a man that is consumed. Now, if you could get him up here from North Carolina, you'd be doing a good thing. But he's a man that's consumed. That's what Paul was. Be spent. No matter what it takes. No matter what it takes. Is that what it takes? That's what we have to do. Let me move along. He said, be spent. He's consumed. Then he said, for you. Consumed for you. Look. And then he goes on to say, though the more. By the way, see them little words for you? You ought to underline that, block that in, or do something. Because think about this. He's here. For you. You will be why he is here. You're why God's going to send him up here. Or out here. Or over here. It's you. It's you. And it's you that he'll love. It's you that he'll be concerned with. It's you that he'll lead. It's you that he'll eat lunch with. It's you that he'll walk with.
It's you that he'll go soul winning with. It's you that he'll be praying with. It's you. It's you. It's you. Everything about you, it's you. When he's eating lunch, he's watching you. He's listening. He's trying to see how you feel. You know, when he's with your relatives, when you're out knocking on doors, when he's preaching to you like I am now, he's looking at your eyes. He's watching you because everything about him is about you. He's gathering information. He's gathering information. God was funneling it through these eye gates and these ear gates. Because why? He's consumed with being the shepherd that God wants him to be for God's children. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Good. Amen. Amen. Now, look at another thing here. And then, notice this. He said for you, though the more abundantly, that's his continual love. He just keeps loving. Let me tell you something this morning. Not all pastors are treated well. Now you listen to me this morning. I've been 40 years along the way. I can say that with authority. Not all pastors are well treated. You know something, don't you, brother? His people have been calling him every single day. When you come home, when you coming home, I told him, tell him to leave you alone. We're busy. I didn't tell him that. But hey, Brother Arnold, they love him. They're in a hurry for him to get home. You know, because they want him to preach to him. They're hungry for his word, for the word God's given him to give to him. They can't wait till he gets home. I think a guy was trying to coerce him to hurry up and come home. He said, I got some toys I want to give you. That translates, Brother Arnold, into guns.
Amen.
I told him, I said, hey, I'll go home with you. Not all pastors are treated very nicely. Not all pastors' children are cared for, and I'll talk about that later. But he said, though the more abundantly I love you, he said, the less I'll be loved. Isn't that amazing? That's a horrible statement right there for the man of God to say about the people that he loves. I hope your pastor never could concur with Paul that's how it is in my ministry here at Harvest Baptist Church. I hope that's never true, brother. I hope there's never a time when you don't respect him and revere him and love him and understand he's God's man, chosen gift to give to us to help us.
Right.
Say, we don't need any help. Well, then you don't need a pastor.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Then look at the character of his work. Now, let me try to, I think this is so important right here. I'm not going to deal with a whole bunch of words here. I don't have time for that now. So I will just give you a couple things here. And look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and look with me at verse number 1. You're already familiar with that. I can tell you know that. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 1. I love this portion of Scripture. It's such a blessing and encouragement to me as a pastor, as a church planter, and that's primarily my job as a church planter. But anyway, watch this. Peter said, the elders which are among you, by the way, let me tell you, the bishop, elder, pastor, they're all the same person. What they do is they depict different areas of his ministry.
Right.
Now that's something that is really something that you must understand. A lot of people don't get this. The controlling group of your churches, Brother Arlen, don't like this right here. They're not going to like what I'm about to say. I hope you do. Because I'm telling you the truth from the Bible. Whether you like it or not, hey, you just have to learn, live with it, amen? So I know what you say, you'll be gone tonight. That's right, I will be tomorrow morning. But hey, look what he says here, all right? He said, the bishops which are among you, I exhort. Peter said, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Look at verse 2. Feed the flock. Look, he's not giving you Cheerios and feeding you oatmeal, and he's not talking about that. Feeding, tending, taking care of it. Tending, which includes a lot of things we'll talk about. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Look at this. Not by constraint. There's that desire again, connected with that. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Look at verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
But being in samples or examples to the flock. Now, when we see the words right here, if you're looking at them with me,
When you see these words in the Bible where it talks about him being a bishop, that explains to you and to me what he does. He's an overseer. You got that? Yeah, no, listen, how many of you work for somebody else? Hold up your hand. Okay. How many of you have a boss? Hold up your hand. How many of you see him now, see the pastor now? He is an overseer. Yeah. That's right. He's an overseer. That's what the Bible says he is. That's why they use the term a bishop. It tells what he does, what he does. He is an, look at that, look at it with me. He is an overseer. All right, now, notice something else about this here. Not only that tells us what he does, and that refers to his operation, how he works the ministry. We'll get to that in a minute again. But then the noun, you use it as a verb. If you use it as a noun, then it talks about not what he does, but what he is. Now you talk about what he is. He is an overseer. And that speaks of his office. One of his operation, one of his office. Those are the same words, just refer to the same person, but they have to do with different things. What he does, what he is, his operation, and his office. Now, he's not only a bishop. Let's look at another thing. He is a superintendent. He's a superintendent. Now, without having to turn to all the verses now, I think I've given you enough of that thought there. Those words, bishop, pastor, elder, same words, different operations within that ministry functioning with those words. Okay, now, with that in mind, think about him as a superintendent. Now, I like what Peter said, not as lords over God's heritage. I wish there were people that I really, Brother Arlen, could tell them exactly what to do. You know what I mean? Especially when it comes to certain things. How people conduct themselves, how they dress, where they go, what they listen to, what they look at, things like that. I preach the Bible. We preach the Word of God, right? But we can't make you do anything.
Right.
And we're not going to try.
Right.
That's the Holy Ghost job, and that's between you and God with your walk with Him.
Amen.
See? And so we don't do that. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. But a lot of people think because a pastor's a strong leader, like Brother Mike is in his church, there's some people sometimes they think he's a dictator. But he's not. Right. He's not. He's a sweet tater. I just thought of that. Amen. He's a sweet tater. He ain't a dictator. He's a sweet. You like sweet potatoes, sister? Man, I do. Up here they got a lot of sweet tater fries. Now, I want that big old sweet potato, man, loaded with real butter. Hey, but he's not a dictator at all. See? But what he does is he delegates. He delegates. That's why you must do something. Don't you do something here too within the ministry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You just didn't all of a sudden say, hey, this is what I'm doing, like it or lump it. No, somewhere along the line, somebody has to be in charge here. I don't, or it must be Brother Arlen maybe, or Brother Ron or somebody, or one of these boys. But somebody has to be in charge. Somebody, in other words, somebody has to be leading this congregation. Somebody has to be leading. All right, well then, in leadership, do you have people work under you as well? Hey, you're not just going to let anybody do anything they want to, correct? They have to meet certain qualifications. I was preaching one time along these lines, and while I'm preaching, there's a man sitting about middle way to where Brother Arlen said. He's sitting there doing this. Just like that. Sitting there just shaking his head when I was talking about these things. And I was talking about the pastor's responsibility. If he's going to choose leaders, he should know whether or not they tithe. I didn't say you go ahead and go check your bank account, amen? But don't rebel at that. I'll tell you why. Remember what the Bible said he was? He's a superintendent. God said that. I didn't say that. I didn't write that in the Bible. God said he's a superintendent. Therefore, it's his responsibility as an overseer. You know why? Because Hebrews said, obey them that have to rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they, not you.
Right.
As that man stands up here, will give an account to God someday. That's right. Amen. So he was sitting back and he was doing this. So I singled him out. And I said, oh, nobody really knew what he was doing but me. I knew he was crossways. So I won't set him straight. I said, okay, bro. I said, brother, hang on a minute. I said, how many people in here are leaders? Several people raised their hand. I said, how many people here hire and fire?
couple people raised their hand. He raised his. So out of that crowd, I just kind of picked him, see, because I saw him going. I said, so now, brother, you hired fire? Yes, I do. I said, can anybody just come and get a job? No. I said, did they have to fill out an application? Yeah. And I went on and on down through that thing, letting him bury himself. And finally, here's what he said. He gave this on his own. He said, and we even do background checks. I thought, huh? Here we go. Amen.
End of story. You know, I moved on. He buried himself. Now, I did that for the sake of his pastor. You know, so that hopefully he won't get all that resistance from this man who is the treasurer, or about to be. God help him. You know, so your pastor has a responsibility to make sure that God's ministry is one that is fiscally responsible. That's his job. That's his job. Come on. That's his job. Why? Why? What is he? He is a what? Overseer. He is an overseer. He is also what? He's a superintendent. God said, I want you over my flock. I want you to tend my flock. And so he has a job, see, to be one that is concerned that the church operates fiscally responsible. It's handled right. Everything. The money. Wisely spent. Worthy causes. For winning souls, for the work of the ministry, for the welfare of the workers. We don't have a very big church. But now,
I don't know how you do it in Canada. I've tried to do it according to the Bible. I really do. But when I feel like the church needs to do something, we do it. I'm the pastor. Hey, by the way, I don't get a salary from this ministry. I'm a church planter. And so I'm not in it for the money. I'm not doing it for any of that. I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it because God has called me. God has laid the responsibility on me. And I will stand before God one day and give an account of how I operate His work and how I tended to His flock.
So what I do is, you know, when there are needs arise and things like that, I don't have to hunt up 10 people on a board somewhere. You kidding me? Man, I'd be pulling my hair out all the time, Brother Ron. We don't do that. We have a setup in our church where I have a church clerk. I mean, who writes all the checks and bills and things like that. But I would never have one who would say, Pastor, you think we ought to do that? Oh no, I don't have that business. No, 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 no. Look,
I've already prayed about it. If you trust me to win your children to Christ and teach you the Word of God, can't you trust me with a $10 bill? You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Hey. You know? And that causes such a hardship and a difficulty. But anyway, fiscally responsible, faithful to the Word of God, free of corruption. That's the pastor's responsibility. Favorable, his ministry. Favorable, he's a superintendent. And then there's not only administrative duties, but there are pastoral duties. These are the wonderful things. These are the things we like. You know, we don't like all that other stuff. We have to do it because that's our responsibility before God. But it's not the joy of the ministry. You see what I mean? Now we get into the joy. See, he's a shepherd. And these are pastoral duties and responsibilities that he has. What did Peter say? Feed the flock. That means take care of the flock. They're mine. I'm gone. I'm not here. I've chosen you. And I've got a flock. I want you to take care of them for me. I want you to tend to them. I want you to feed them. I want you to love them. I want you to care for them. I want you to help them. I want you to pray with them. On and on and on. Hey, why? And why does he do that? We go back to the very first thing. Because he's called. That's it. That's it. He does it because he's called. He's called to the task. Second, because he loves the sheep. If I was your pastor here and your next pastor and Paul was the same way, Peter was that way, hey, listen. He's going to love you. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You ready? Hang on. Hold your sheep with both hands. Do you know not all sheep are really real lovable? Huh?
Right.
How many of you ever had horses? How many of you ever been kicked? Have you had a dog that bites you? Your dog? That's right. There are times, I had a dog one time, we lived up in Montana, started work up there, Kalispell, and he was a chow husky. But in the snow, Brother Arlen, it pulled some of that little skin off that paw. So we saw him limping, brought him in the house and sat him down in the warm, and I just wanted to check him over. And I looked at that foot and I turned that paw over and he bit me on the hand. Just a snap, you know. It wouldn't hurt me. It didn't hurt me. But I thought, you know, isn't that good? I mean, isn't that illustrative, rather, wasn't too good. But isn't that illustrative of how we can get sometimes?
Yeah.
We get a little hurt. We get a little wound, you know.
Yeah.
We get skin up just a little bit. Next thing you know, we kind of snap it back. Kind of snap back. You know what I mean? And so sometimes sheep get like that, you know. That's why there's a certain time when sheep have to be sheared. That's why sometimes that shepherd carries that crooked stick, you know. Keeps them in line. Keep them in line, which is illustrative of the word of God. Keeps the sheep in line. He does that, see. But the pastor, his pastoral duties, he's doing all these things. Why? Because he's called to the task. Why? Because he loves you. Hey, look here. Hey, you. Hey, he loves you. And because they need his guidance, protection, and his care. Wonder why God didn't say, hey, all the people of all of my flock, they're all goats.
Right.
He didn't use goats. Goats have to be driven. They got a mind of their own. They're not afraid. They take chances. They seem to have no fear. I had a goat one time and I had a coon dog. I like to coon hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Raccoons. So I was raccoon hunting. We used to catch them, but we caught them and ate them, man. We ate them. We caught 60 a year. Anybody ever ate a coon? Arlen, hey, you're a wilderness man.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. How many of you like chicken? If you like chicken, you will love coon meat. It's good. Well, anyway, you know, so we go coon hunting. You know, we catch all these coons. We do all this kind of stuff, you know. And it was just a blessing.
Amen.
And it was a blessing as to where I was going and why I was saying that. Anyway, next point. Then because he's dedicated to the sheep. Watch this. This will come around again. You know, my wife sits back in the congregation sometimes. She just laughs and laughs and laughs. And so does the church people. They know I'll catch up with it again. You know, as it goes around, I'll catch it somewhere around the corner. But anyway, then because he has dedicated his life to the sheep. Then educational duties. Hey, stands a reason. Amen. I like that. Your scripture verse in there for today. That God gave the pastor to the church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. It's his responsibility to train you, teach you, so you can get out there and get the work done.
Right.
By the way, listen, the pastor doesn't do everything.
Right.
You know, you ever tried to teach Sunday school, preach Sunday morning, preach Sunday night, do Wednesday night, do soul winning visitation, pray, have a prayer life, have a family life, you know, stay in the word, keep sharp, you know, keep your spiritual life and walk. What good are you? What good is my ministry if my walk for God isn't what it ought to be? Let him do that. Give him time for that. You understand that? It's very important. Very important. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, you need to get it done. The edifying, building up the body of Christ. Now, let me give you this. I'm going to stop here just in a second. Will you give me just a couple more minutes? Here we go.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. I want you to see now his cherished delights. These are good things about the ministry right here. These are just wonderful things. And I don't have time to turn to Romans, but if you went over to Romans 1 and 7, 9, 10, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, down through there, you can read it if you want to when you go home. But we could see in those scripture verses things that stirred up Paul as a preacher of the gospel, as a pastor. Here's what we all like. Here's what Brother Mike likes. Here's what I like. Here's, I'm sure, what Arlen, as a layman here. This is what we really, really like about the ministry and pastoring. Number one, as these chairs, he likes to watch people's lives change. Isn't that great? He likes to watch their lives change. You know that? Look how God put in the scripture these things. He said, and you at the quickened who were dead. Boy, what a life-changing experience that was. And such were some of you. That's a life. Somebody was watching someone's life changing. Then he said, now are ye washed. Now are ye clean. I'm not everything that God would, that I want to be for God, or that God would have me be for him, rather. But I'll tell you what, I'm working at it. Listen, as a pastor, I'm still learning. I'm still growing, see? And I'm trying to grow each and every day. He said, now you wash, now you clean. But look at this. He told the Philippians. I love this. That's my favorite book, by the way, is the book of Philippians. Brother Arliss is Hebrews, mine's Philippians. And he said, talk to them, ye are my joy and crown.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Yeah.
You're my present joy right now. I love you. I love to be around you. Paul said to Romans, he said, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, you know. And so what a blessing that is. See? Hey, my joy, my crown. Always be a joy to your pastor. Amen? All right. Not only that, he said here, not just to watch lives change, but then to watch their love grow. We can see that. Then to watch them learn, watch them labor, watch them lean on the Lord. I mean, on and on and on, so many things. But let me tell you, his constant dread. Preachers don't leave their work at home. Do you know that? If you're a secretary, you leave, you punch the clock, home, you go on, you're home, you know. Or whatever you might do in life. Most people don't take their work home with them. Listen to me this morning. Every pastor worth his weight in salt takes his work home with him. Brother, I never turn my cell phone off. It's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I've gotten calls since I've been in Canada. It doesn't matter where I go around the United States of America. My phone is on because it's my responsibility to tend that flock. And as long as I'm the tender of that flock, I need to make myself available, even if I'm in good Google Mooga land. I don't know, you know, no matter where I'm at. Hey, it's my responsibility. You know why? Because your pastor loves you. He doesn't want you to stump your toe or hurt yourself without him knowing. I tell my people, say, if I catch you in the hospital and you don't tell me on the way while you're there, I'm going to be mad at you. That's what I tell them. Hey, don't you get hurt. Don't you be sick and not let me know. Amen, brother? That's right. Don't be sick and don't let me know. Hey, I'm your pastor. I love you. I want to come pray with you. You want to have surgery? I'm going to be there. Oh, I'm a preacher at 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, I'll be there at 3. I'll be there at 2:30. Amen. I'm right there, buddy. Why? Because that's my responsibility is I'm tending the flock. That's the kind of pastor you need to have, see? He likes that. But he has a constant dread. First of all, the foe. Let me just tell you what these are. The foe. Hey, there's an enemy out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry? Pastor's a watchman on the wall. He's watching for that. You know, he's in your house one day, he might see a magazine you don't have any business watching. I mean, looking at, but I don't mean a bad magazine. It could be something that might not have good doctrine or good teaching or may not be Baptistic. Amen. Does that make sense? Sure it does. See, but anyway, there's a foe out there. Watch for that. And then the shepherd recognizes the fight. We're all struggling, battling. The flesh, oh my. What we have to battle with every single day. Paul said, I buffet my body, what? Daily. I got a buddy, a friend of mine, used to be on bus director. He has a little hard time bending over the front, you know. And so he said, well, I found it in the Bible. Paul said, I buffet my body daily. I told him, I don't think that means buffet. I think that means buffet, beat up, get it under control. Then false prophets, the failure among the flock, falling out, not getting along with one another, the foolishness of worldliness and carnality, the feeble and the weak, the foxes that spoil the little vines, and on and on and on. Hey, boy, those are things that just burden and break the heart of your pastor, you know, when he sees these things in the flock. Then the church's responsibility. Okay, here we go. Let me read this to you. All right, hang on to these now. This is it. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's builder. Here's your job towards your pastor. Number one, labor with him, okay?
Good
night, he can't do it all, you know? He's not a Gumby. Everybody know what a Gumby is, what Gumby was. He's not a Gumby. You don't know? I'm telling you what. Anyway, yeah, that was that little old man, you know, you could stretch him this way, stretch him that way, stretch him up here like this, you know? He could just stretch in all directions, everywhere. Called him Gumby. And so, the pastor's not a Gumby. He can't be here and here and here and there and everywhere, you know. And you need to understand that about him.
Yeah, right.
You know, hey, I've heard stories about pastors say, I had people leave the church. I think you had somebody leave the church. Well, they were sick. They really never came. Maybe once every leap year, you know. But oh, they got sick and all of a sudden, what are we, mind readers? You know what I mean? Hey, they got mad, so we ain't never come back to church anymore. Pastor didn't come see me. Well, number one, he hadn't seen you, you know, since he fellowshiped with Methuselah, you know, and then you only come around on Christmas and Easter, you know. Well, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're doing. How did I know you were sick? Come on, help me out.
Right.
Then they get mad and leave, you know. Whoa, what a pain in the neck, you know. Labor with him. Help him. Help him. Help him do the work. You go knock on doors.
You go soul winning. Man, I preached a message one time on the power of a gospel tract.
Yeah.
Oh, listen to me. Hundreds of thousands upon thousands of souls have been saved just because somebody gave them a gospel tract.
Amen.
It says what you can't say. It goes where you can't go. Amen? And so labor with him. Then, here we go. Love him and his family. See, because they need your prayers. Paul said, finally, brother, pray for us. He said, we need free course. See, and we want things to be glorifying to God. The pastor needs you to pray for him. Arlen and Brother Ron and whoever, maybe you, I just don't know. But look, whoever it is that is tending this flock right now, you should be praying for them every single day. On my cell phone, everybody has a memo on your cell phone, right? Yellow memo. In my memo, I have a big prayer sheet. I have pages and pages and pages, hundreds and hundreds of people. Well, I can't pray for them all the time. So what I've done on my cell phone, brother, is I've taken that cell phone in my memo and I put some real important things in there, you know, and that's what I pray for. At the stoplight, and when I'm eating, if I'm by myself, when I'm somewhere eating, or when I have a little more alone time, whatever, I'm praying. Look, why don't you do the same thing for your pastor? They pray for you every day, multiple times a day. They pray for you. They pray for your cats and your dogs and your chickens and your horses. They pray for you. You know, I have little kids saying, pray for my cat. My cat got sick. Okay, you know what we did? We prayed for the cat. That's right. Bob says in all things, you know, we're to pray about. So you pray for them. Arlen or whoever's at this pulpit should never be here without you have spent a little bit of time on that just before that service praying for the man of God. You, now, you get that? I do want you to do this. I got it. I understand. Pray. Because they have battles to fight. Pastors do. They have burdens to carry. They have bad days, broken health. They have betrayals. They have bumps in life's roads. They've got all that kind of stuff. But they need you also for you to pay him. I don't take pay. I don't take a salary. I'm missionary supported somewhat. So, but when you get a man in here, do what you can. You know, there's a lot more ways. Let me ask you a question. What other things can a congregation do to a pastor besides money? Tell me real quick, hurry. What else can they do?
Give him a quarter of meat.
There you go. Help,
amen.
Hey, that's right. You know that I tell people, my wife always says, honey, get off the bean business, okay? I say, you go to the store, get a can of beans, get the pastor one. She said, beans, I know something else. Is there anything else in life besides beans? Because I kind of seem to use beans. Hey, beans. You go to the, you get carrots, get them some carrots. You get a head of lettuce, get them a head of lettuce. Find out what they like. We have a lady in our church, Brother Mike. She loves Mounds candy bars. Well, that's Bounty up here. You know, but anyway, Mounds candy bars. Y'all like those Bounties? Man, that coconut in there and that chocolate. Oh, my goodness. I just love it. They say if you put it on your head, your tongue slap your brains out trying to get to it, man. It's a good. But hey, I got a lady. She loves those Mounds, Brother Mike. Every time me and Captain will go, and she loves Fritos. Man, she gets them out of bag loads, boy. She hasn't been able to drive for months. And so Captain would have to haul her around, take her to the hospital, doctor and stuff. But we get her bags of Fritos and we buy her Mounds candy bars, you know. But you know, you can do that for your pastor. That's right. You can do that for your pastor. You know, pay him. Take care of him. Give him a pounding. I don't mean beat him up either. You ever hear of a pounding up here? They call that up here. You know, when you go and fill up their cupboard full of food. You know, every now and then you slip over the pastor's house when he, you know, just kind of walk around. Da, 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 da. Here's the cupboard door. Da, 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 da. Just see if there's any food in there, you know. You know, he might need something to eat.
Yeah.
I remember a time in my life when I was a Bible college student. You know what I ate? I ate peanut butter and crackers every day. Amen. Peanut butter and crackers every single day. Man, I ate so much peanut butter, I felt like I was stuck together, man. Everywhere I walked, I felt like this, you know, all that sticky peanut butter. But hey, pay him. But then, not only just pay him, but personal fellowship. He needs all that. Then listen to him. I hope you listen to him. You look like you are. You look like you're engaged in this thing.
Amen.
Now, we'll know that later on when God gives you a pastor and I come back up here and check on you.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going to say, they taking care of you. They loving you. They giving you a can of beans every now and then. They feel like you're getting you a bounty. Maybe you don't like, maybe it's turtles you like. I don't mean to kind of swim around the water.
You know, maybe it's turtles. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's chocolate ice cream. But hey, find something good to do for the pastor and his wife. Now, let me tell you. Here's who's the most neglected people in the church. Here they are. It's little people like you. Okay? It's the pastor's wife and the pastor's kids. I don't know if you do this or not. Don't tell me if you do. You'll mess the whole thing up. But here's what you should do. Do they celebrate Pastor Appreciation Month in Canada? Okay, well, I'll tell you what you do. It's a great thing. So when the States has Pastor Appreciation, what month is that?
October
is Pastor Appreciation Month. Mark it down. Arlen, put it in your bulletin at the 1st of October. And then, you men, hey. You know, I have run into this chair the whole time. I'm not done now. I'm going to put up with it. And, but, hey, take him out to the store. Give him a tie. I love you,
man.
Okay, I don't know what you do, but I'm gonna, hey, take the pastor's wife out, you know, and buy her something nice. Just go out and sit down and eat together. Just let her enjoy, you know, some fellowship. And don't just do that once a year. Do it often. I don't mean every week, you know. But every couple months or so, you can say, Miss Pastor, listen, you got time? Let's just go out today. Let's have a good time. Me and my wife, you know, we love thrift stores, junk shops, I don't care, you name it, antique stores and everything. My wife holds on to me after all these years. I'm an antique now. And so we love all that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of what we enjoy doing for enjoyments. Find out what your pastor likes. Is he a hunter? Does he like the fish? You know, or whatever, I don't know.
Amen.
You know? Does he like the... I ran across a guy the other day like badminton. You know? So, hey, whatever that... And get engaged with him. And then here's another thing. What about their kids? When's your birthday? Next week? Might give her $5. Your birthday's next week. Now, if you was my daughter and we were the pastor here, I would expect you to get a birthday card from this church.
Amen.
With a little bit of cabbage, money, cash, inside of that. So you could go get you half a gallon of ice cream and gain 5 pounds. Or whatever you wanted to do after you tithe and gave to missions, right? Okay? And so cards, letters, thank yous, appreciations. Take your cell phone. I tell my people all the time, I'm texting them. And I'm saying, hey, I'm praying for you today. Love you today. You know, except that's what I do for my people. And that's what they need. That's what you need to do for your pastor. Take care of him. And then his calling defended. I'm done. Listen to me. Don't ever let anybody gossip about your pastor.
Yeah. Right.
Remember, what's the very first point we talked about? What was it? His calling is what? From God. You don't want people to talk about the man of God. Don't let anybody criticize your pastor. He's God's man. You ought to say, whoa. I don't accept that. I've separated from people, brother, in my lifetime that I've loved dearly because they wanted to talk about my pastor. I don't allow that. And I said, I'm sorry, brother. If this is the context of our relationship, we have to divide. Believe it or not, we have a conflict with certain people. Because I'm not going to put up with it. Okay? And he's not going to let them run you down either. So, refuse gossip, brother. Rebuke troublemakers. We don't have time to read all these. Rest in his leadership. Remember his call. Respect his privacy. Regard his family. And a million other things. I'm praying for you. Me and Brother Mike, we've been praying and praying and praying on this trip. God has a man. He has just the right man. See, I told Brother Mike, I said, they'd kill me in Canada. I'm a hillbilly. And but hey, people are people. I don't care where you go. They have a heart. They have needs. They get sick. They want love. They need all these things. And so do preachers.
Amen.
matter of fact, we really need it. We really do. When I talked a little while ago about the battles, friend, I can't tell. You know, most people don't really understand a pastor anyway. I know they may love him, they may give him cards, they might buy him a tie or a meal or whatever. But deep down sometimes, and that's all good, brother, as long as he's petting you the way your fur is going.
Yeah.
But when it has to go the opposite way, we pulled in the lot of an Indian on the reservation the other day, and this little old Palomino looking dog, whatever, yellow, whatever he was, he come running out there. I'm not kidding you. If his head, he was bristled up. He had a big old hump on his back. I thought he was a humpback. What that was, once he calmed down, all of that left, flat across the back. Man, he was so bristled up. He wouldn't bite a flea, you know, but he was all that bristled up. You know what? Hey, church members get bristled up sometimes when the pastor rubs the fur the wrong way.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what? You know why that's happening? Because God loves you more than he does. And God's got him in there for what? The perfecting of the work. God wants you to grow. God wants you to mature. And whatever it takes, you need a man of God with resolve, with courage, with tenacity, with an unwavering belief in the Bible as God's word, and all the confidence in the world, not in himself, but in the power of the Holy Ghost of God to change our lives and make us and conform us into his image. Amen?
Amen.
I'm done. Let's stand together, please. Brother Arlen, you can come for the invitation, but let's stand for just a minute, if you would, please. Sister, if you come play something nice softly for me on the piano. With all our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to turn this over to Brother Hogg just a second. But with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. I want you to do something here. Heads bowed, eyes closed. She's going to play on the piano. I wonder if you would do this morning. We don't really have a space up here right now. Here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to be standing, okay? Unless you're willing to sit down in your seat right now, indicating that, preacher, I am going to pray for my pastor. I'm going to pray for my pastor's family. I'm going to be on board. I'm going to do everything I can to honor the Bible and the man you call to this ministry. I want you to sit down if that's what you're doing right now. If you're willing to pray that kind of a prayer, sit down. Just sit right down. Normally, I'd probably have you fill the altar, but just sit down. Hey, you know who sees this crowd? God does. That's right. God's looking down. I think God is looking out over the battlements of heaven, so to speak. I think he's saying, I'm real pleased with harvest this morning. I'm real pleased. They've listened. We've been long. They've been attentive. They look like they care. And God's saying, I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased. There's a reason why you've had this length of time without that shepherd. Maybe God's just getting things ready, getting not necessarily the pastor ready. Maybe he's getting you ready to receive him.
Amen.
Oh, listen to me. I've had good pastors in my life that I would take a bullet for. I loved them. They loved me and I knew it. But listen to me. Care for the pastor. Care for his wife. Care for his children. There's a pastor's wife's appreciation month, by the way, as well. That's April. Put it on your calendar. Make it a point to love him and his family. And I'll tell you one thing. You'll find God's richest blessing in your life if you undertake that responsibility. God will bless you. That'll get around Grand Prairie. Other people will know. Hey, listen, that's a loving church, man. They love their pastor. They love each other. Hey, that news will spread like a wildfire. Then you'll be so proud to say, hey, listen, I'm a member of Harvest Baptist. Listen, we've got a good man of God. We've got a good man of God. We've got a good family. We've got a loving congregation. They love each other. They'll hug one another every now and then, and they pray for one another. Hey, listen, folks, people are hurting out there. They're hurting. They're lost. They're wandering. Oh, Jesus looked at the city, and Bob says he wept. He wept. They were scattered abroad as sheep, not having a shepherd. That'll get around, folks. God will grow this work. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to hearing the good news later down the road. Please. Thank you for praying this morning. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, God, as we see these people sitting down here praying, they've indicated that that's what they're doing. I pray, dear God, you'll bless this church. Maybe, Lord, like it's never been before. Lord, maybe the church is getting ready to take another leap, move into another sphere of serving you. And, Lord, you've just been getting them ready, getting them ready. And, Father, I pray that they will be ready. And, Heavenly Father, may you be glorified and many souls be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you. Take your hymn books and turn to number 560. And appreciate the wisdom there from God's Word this morning. And as we seek to do all of those things, and we're hoping that God will deliver to us and put in front of us that man of God that will do all of those things, let's focus ourselves on what kind of congregation we are, that God would bless a good pastor with a good congregation. Let's all stand together and sing, "Is Thy Heart Right with God?" Perhaps as we've gone through this morning, some of those qualifications, some of those things maybe rubbed you wrong, and maybe you're asking yourself why that is. But let's just be honest before God and let Him work in our hearts. Let's sing 560, and if God has spoken to you, then you can talk to Him right where you are. Number 560.